You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to an episode of the Locked On Buckeyes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. And today we have a guest here with us that it's been probably about 6 months since Corey and I had done a show together, either here on Locked On Buckeyes or on my other podcast, the Jay Stevens Podcast. It's Corey Thompson from the Scarred and Great Podcast. I'm sure many of you, when you heard his name, you know him. If you don't know him by his name, you probably know him by his voice. Corey, how you doing?
Pretty good, Jay. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. Doing very well as I can. The NCAA tournament is still going on, and the Buckeyes are not in it anymore. Before we get into the Buckeye basketball, if you could, Corey, for those that are not watching the video portion of this show, can you let everybody know where they can catch your show, listen to it, and then also where they can catch you on social media as well?
Well, if you want to tweet at me, because I do my best to follow back. Twitter is not very good about letting me know who's following me, so I had to get a separate app just for that. At Scarlet Great CT, just as it's spelled, just as it sounds, Scarlet Great CT. If you want to catch us on the podcast, it's a Scarlet and Great Podcast on any one of your favorite streaming services, you know, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whichever one you like. It's all on there. And we also have a YouTube channel, Scarlet and Great Empire, if you want to catch us on there as well. A lot of big things coming down the road. Right now, we're on a little bit of a pause because Johnny just had his firstborn. Johnny and Lana, yeah, they just had their firstborn, little Precious Presley. And, guys, she's beautiful, and congrats to them.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. I know that he had relocated from Virginia, I believe, to Ohio, mm-hmm. but didn't know that the other addition or amazing thing was there for him. Congratulations to him. I'll have to say something to him on Twitter about that because I had no idea.
We'll go back and talk about Johnny's kid.
If you want to, we can. The basketball game, man. The basketball season's over. 21-10 record on the season, conference record at 12-8, a team that was undefeated in the non-conference schedule. So you don't know what to put into that or how much thought, because you only played, I think it was one power conference team. Everybody else was mid-majors, basically getting a check and then going back to school. But then in the regular season, you saw a good streak, a hot streak, some lulls, some bad moments. Mm-hmm. Then you saw a really, really, really bad moment or streak of games at the end of the season. And then what we witnessed last Friday, where the Buckeyes didn't look hot at all, playing a team that had two guys that were hitting a lot of open shots, and Max A. Smith and Kevin O'Banner. Corey, what was your takeaway just after watching the basketball game Friday where Oral Roberts beat Ohio State?
Well, I mean, look, I know Oral Roberts is a solid, or they came on late. They were 13-10 going into their conference tournament, ended up 16-10. I know they came on a little late. They have some shooters. They have a wide open offense that spreads you out. I get all that. I get they just beat the Florida Gators too. I'm not saying they're some scrub, but they are a team Ohio State should beat and should beat probably by 10 to 15 points. A 15 seed, it's an embarrassment. It's not Loyola Chicago where they're extremely underrated. You know, like, well, how are they an 8 seed? It's a team that really, Ohio State was favored by 15.5, and I didn't know they'd beat him by 15.5. I thought maybe a 5-point win was going to be enough because it's just who the Buckeyes are. But I hate to say it, man. I love these kids. And I love the coaching staff. I love the Ohio State, but it's an embarrassing loss. It is what it is, you know. And it's a 15 seed, the ninth time a 15 seed has won in tournament history. And now Ohio State's in that category, you know, forever. It's done. And I understand that, you know, Holtman says it's disappointing. Well, I mean, he's going to say it as nicely as he can, but I'm a fan. I'll say it differently. It's not just disappointing. It's embarrassing. And it honestly, if you're just asking, I don't want to jump ahead of it. If you're just asking me about how I felt about that game, it was the first game this year, Jay, when it was 49-42, and I was so frustrated with how they were playing. It wasn't even just how good Oral Roberts was playing. It's just how bad we were playing. I turned it off for a good little while and walked away. I had to get away from it. I was getting angry. And I was just like, this is inexcusable. They're lost on defense. Their offensive sets are working. They can't hit a shot to save their lives. They're in their own heads. I just had to walk away for it for a little while. Then I caught the end. And just, I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm disappointed in the team overall. I enjoyed the season, the ups and downs of the season. I enjoyed watching them play because it's a lot of grit. But that game was extremely frustrating.
Frustrating is a good word to put. Embarrassing. Lackluster at times defensively. Defensive rotations were poor. Mm-hmm. The ability for just people to just stay, keep their mentals, keep their head in the game mm-hmm. the entire time was poor. The fact that O'Banner and A. Smith didn't come off the court, they played 45 minutes in that game. They followed it up in the very next game against Florida with 45 minutes, excuse me, I don't know why I'm saying points. 45 minutes, and they scored a lot of points, 45 minutes apiece in game one for them in the tournament, 40 minutes in game two. In the NCAA tournament, they have not come off the court, and I do expect that team, Coach Mills, to keep going with that trend because he knows if he's going to win another game in this year's tournament, he has to keep those guys on the court. Ohio State, with the substitutions that were going on, players coming in and out, they seem like even the fresh players mentally weren't there. From the opening tip, you should not let a guy, first or second play of the game, cut towards the middle of the basket, and nobody is there to defend the rim. To me right there, that was kind of like that's where my frustration came in, because you're basically showing we can't defend the paint. E.J. Liddell is not a rim protector. Zed Key's not really he can be, but he's not your rim protector. You don't have a rim protector on the team, and you're basically saying, hey, little man, you're what, 6 foot, 165? We'll part the Red Sea for you, Corey, because this is your lane. You own it. And the entire time, it's like Oral Roberts was in the driver's seat, and Ohio State was trying to figure out how to slow that train down.
Yeah, and what's more confusing is Oral Roberts is a terrible defensive team. Mm-hmm. Statistically, they're terrible. Mm-hmm. Understandably so, they're small. And Ohio State, I mean, their sets were working. They were getting open shots. I was debating a friend on this during the game where he says, we're taking bad shots. Like, no, we're not. They're wide open. There's at the corner, at the three-point line. I mean, I don't care if you take a wide-open three-pointer. If you are a guy who can hit those, you need to take them when they're open. Brick, brick. Really, 4 or 5 of 23 on three pointers, 9 of 18 on free throws. That was a mental thing.
Yeah,
and people were saying I can't blame Holtman for that. To a degree, you're right. I can't. That's just what is he supposed to do? You know, when these guys are just not hitting anything, the whole team. But I want to know why they just weren't mentally in that game. It's not fatigue at that point. I know. I understand Illinois was a war. I get that. That game was an absolute war. But you had almost a week off. Come on, you're 20-somes, you know, 18, 19. I remember when I was 18, 19, I'd love to play 4 or 5 games in a row.
You know? Yeah. And
now, granted, I could never do that now, but, you know, and now, granted, I'm not saying it's the same as playing an NCAA, you know, competitive game like that, but these kids could probably play 2 games in a row. You know, you should be more than well rested. So it's not a fatigue issue. What got in your mind? Did you just take them lightly? Is that it? Did you just figure we're going to coast this game? We're going to get to play Florida, Virginia Tech, whomever wins that game. I think by then we knew who was going to play. I can't remember if we knew who at the time, but we're going to coast this game, and then we're going to fight for our right at the Sweet 16. Nope, guys, you had to. You don't defend the three well all year, and this team shoots the three well. And I expected them to keep it close for that reason alone, but I didn't expect. I mean, it was 23-15. I thought, here we go. We're starting to pull ahead a little bit. We'll probably get ahead by 15, 20. They'll come back, of course, because that's what we do. And we'll win by 7-5 points. And it's like we were just trailing the whole game. We were playing catch up. And you're right, man. It felt like they were in control the entire game.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. You know, Corey, it's almost like a tale of a reminder of games that Ohio State has played this season, where no matter if it's the first Northwestern game, this is when I first was getting around to understanding and learning more about the basketball team, how they go. Northwestern was down. Ohio State's on the road in Evanston. And then all of a sudden, Northwestern makes some good defensive plays, makes some good baskets quickly, a transition three, and next thing you know, Northwestern, via two free throws, they're up by 1 point. Ohio State loses 71-70 via a comeback. But then you have the game against Rutgers on the road as well in New Jersey, where Rutgers was up. Miles Johnson, a big man from Rutgers, goes down, fouls out of the game. Ohio State goes on a run, and that's early in the season. But as the season progressed, we saw what we saw on Friday in numerous games. No matter if it was a win or a loss, where mentally, it just seemed like there were times that not just one player, not just two players, numerous players were checked out of the game. And I am not ultra critical of Chris Holtmann. I like Chris Holtmann. Later in the week, I'm going to do a segment about Chris Holtmann as far as like defensively and recruiting, about him as a coach, what he has done, what he has not done. I don't know if I'll get the transfers or not. That's still something in my head I got to figure out. But I really wonder defensively if this is a trend that just his teams have. We're early in the year defensively. They're lacking. I know at Butler, the team's always played hard. Very, very hard, and he got a lot more out of those players than what they even thought they could get out of themselves. I don't know what happened this year. I don't know. I do not understand that Dwayne Washington Jr. had his lapses early on. Then he really turned it around, started playing very consistently. But there's still moments in these games where with Dwayne Washington Jr., you're still wondering late in games, can we rely on you? Can we rely on a C.J. Walker? Can we rely on X, Y, or Z? Insert the player. Can that person be reliable in crunch time to make free throws? Don't forget a jump shot to make free throws. 15 feet away from the basket. Nobody's around. It's just you, the ball, the rim. You got to close your eyes and shoot it to act like you're in a gym by yourself. So be it. But 9 of 18 is not going to work. The lack of defense on the three-pointers is not going to work. And mentally, it wasn't just an Oral Roberts thing. Numerous times throughout the end of the season, in the season, the mentally, Ohio State was not mentally locked in, and their opponents saw that. And numerous opponents in the Big Ten, Corey, attack and took advantage of Ohio State's lack of being locked in during numerous games.
Yeah, and I don't get at the end of games when we go to hero ball, we just say, hey, Dwayne, take the ball. Or, you know, sometimes we don't even look at EJ, and he's arguably our best player. Mm-hmm. Now, Dwayne, I think, did become our best player for a moment there towards the end of the season, because it's hard to argue. I mean, 30 points against Michigan, you know, 20-some-odd against Illinois or whatever. And not to mention, he was shooting efficiently. In the Oral Roberts game, he was 7 of 21, 1 for 3 in free throws, taking terrible shots. He became Dwayne Washington of his sophomore year. And when you needed him to be the killer from the Big Ten tournament, you know, the guy who set the Big Ten tournament record in points. People were dumping on EJ unfairly. I know he made a couple of mistakes. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't perfect. I mean, he had 5 turnovers, a couple. He really needs to handle that double team better than what he usually does. But that's not me knocking the kid. It's just something he can improve upon. He's a great player, great kid. I'm not knocking him. 23-14-5 for EJ in the Oral Roberts game. It's hard to – in a key block, a LeBron chase down block towards the end of the game as well. I mean, it's hard to knock the kid. So I was more along the lines of, Dwayne, you're the leader right now. You're the guy with Junior. We need you to step up. And I really felt like he didn't – not to say he didn't all season. He did a lot this season, so I'm not going to put it all on him. But that game particularly wasn't great. But either way, I don't get it. Ahrens hasn't hit a shot since Valentine's Day, I don't think. And, you know, who else was really – CJ was starting to kind of find it, but even he was missing off the shoulder and things like that. Who else – you need somebody else to step up and get some scoring. Not having Kyle Young, we have to mention not having Kyle Young was huge because that team feeds off of his energy. Even when they're playing bad, his energy will give them a lift, and he just, you know, wasn't there. But they still should beat that team without Kyle Young. I don't know, man. It's hard to say. It was frustrating because it's just a game you should win, and it's getting to. I don't know about you, Jay, and I know you're an Indiana Buckeye,
mm-hmm.
so Chris Holtmann means something a little extra to you.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you, man, I love Chris. I do. But I have a show coming out. I'm gonna start questioning some things. Like, is he the guy to get us to that next step? Because this seems to be a trend now. 20-21 wins. You know, I think we did better in the Big Ten tournament this time, which was nice. Hopefully we can continue that trend. But we early exit in March, you know. And it's kind of like, okay, sometimes there's context to why it happens. But this is a year you should have been like, okay, Sweet 16, this team is good enough for that. And is it really unfair, Jay, to say, I need you to get me at least to the Sweet 16, second weekend, at least one of these times? You know, we're paying it $3, $4 million a year. Can you get us over that hump? Because I'm not trying to say he should be Thad Matta, but before Thad Matta's decline, gosh, we were Elite Eight almost consistently, Final Four contenders all the time.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's even free to sign up. Head to betonline.ag on your computer or your mobile device, and make sure when you sign up, you use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, that is betonline.ag. Go there on your computer or mobile device and make sure when you sign up, you use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. We have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is chocolate brownie chunk versus lemon almond cheesecake. I am pretty sure there are many of you out there that when you heard chocolate brownie chunk, it didn't matter what the next flavor was going to be, that was going to get your vote no matter what. Go to BuiltBar.com or to @bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15, LOCKED, the number one, and the number five, to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. The NFL draft is weeks away. It's time to start following our Locked On NFL Draft duo. The Draft Dudes podcast watches every prospect so that you don't have to. And the Locked On NFL Draft podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Corey, I am an Indiana guy, still live in Indiana. And Chris Holtmann does mean something more to me. And I think it goes back to his introduction to being Butler's coach, where Butler's coach left literally like a month before the season, medical leave. Nobody knew where he went. Chris Holtmann is thrust into the interim role, does a very good job initially just taking over and being a good coach in a very bad or abnormal situation. Well, he gets the nod, he gets the full-time job, and he does a phenomenal job. I think 3 or 4 years at, coaching at Butler, 20-plus wins every single season. Going to Ohio State, I was always more Holtmann over Archie, even though Archie did a little bit, did some decent things at Dayton as well. I won't knock and say Archie Miller did bad things at Dayton. I'm not going to be that guy. What Archie did at Indiana University, he just fell off the wagon. I think the pressure may have been too much for him because the pressure at Bloomington is kind of like the pressure – I won't say the same level, but the pressure at Ohio State for football, If you're losing, dude, you're gonna get ran out of town. And it took two phone calls, somebody to help with the buyout, help fund the buyout, somebody to help fund getting the next coach. I mean, that's two phone calls that AD made. Archie's gone that quick. But with Holman, man, I wonder, and I haven't done a deep dive, I haven't looked into his history at Ohio State, but I wonder if in recruiting via or the transfer portal, he's gone more. Think about how many transfers were on this team this year. If you're not developing talent and if you're not bringing in guys that are either a big man, a wing, a forward, or even a point guard or a lead guard, where you're developing guys 2 to 3 years or 3 to 4 years, because I think Zedke is a four-year guy, not a three-year guy. That's a project like that. I like those kind of projects. Mm-hmm. But when you have so many transfers from Justice Suing to who else is another?
C.J. Walker's a transfer.
C.J. Walker's a transfer.
Towns. Towns. Jimmy Soto.
Porter, yep. Who didn't even play. So you're bringing in guys in the offseason to come in. You got to start recruiting. And I think the Big Ten right now is realizing we have to change our method of recruiting to some coaches, because you're looking out west, you're looking down south, looking over to the east and the north. You're seeing these other schools, the other conferences, they have different players in you, and they have a lot of athletes at every single position. Travion Williams is a phenomenal guy at Purdue. But if you put Travion Williams up against some of these other guys around the country, I don't think he'll be able to defend the others around the country that are at his same position. I don't know if it's recruiting. I don't know if it's transfers. But one of the two to me, Corey, is why I think Chris Holman, and this year specifically, why things ended the way that they did.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a solid recruiter, but not, you know, he's not mind-blowing, you know, or anything like that. He's gotten some decent talent, obviously, and we got some good guys coming in. Barnum was looking really good. He just won a state championship at St. Joseph's and St. Vincent, I'm sorry. He 37 points in the state title game. So he's looking good. I think the Kellen Elser is a perfect European style stretch five, maybe stretch four. But again, and they got a nice point guard coming in after that. But I do think – I don't know what the problem is getting a big man. I don't understand the issue there. I mean, going against Illinois with Kofi, I'm going to say Coburn. I understand why commentators are calling him Coburn all game. I mean, I'd feel uncomfortable saying his last name.
I would, too. Well. I would. Yeah. Yeah, I did.
And people laugh at it, but I'm like, I'd do the same flipping thing. And anyway, I mean, Holman recruited him, and Illinois beat us for him, you know. And I look, how much of a difference would he have made this year, obviously. I like Zedke a lot, but you gotta get bigger. And mm-hmm. I think the game is actually evolving a little bit more back towards the big man, you know, because there's big men all around the country. As long as they can shoot the three, as long as they can spread the four a little bit and they're not just one dimensional. But you know, look at Garza is a really good, Coburn's really good. I mean, look at Dickinson from Michigan.
Dude, Williams, like you said.
Oh yeah, Williamson from Purdue, like you said. Yeah. Look, it's just one after another. EJ, I actually defended EJ in the Big Ten tournament. I was like, gosh, he just went against like 4 7-foot monsters, like right in a row, and 4 days in a row. And everybody's wondering why he's exhausted. I'm like, he's probably got his ribs beat in too. He also takes a lot of elbows to the face, unfortunately, because he's 6'7". Also, Minnesota had a 7-footer. So I can't remember his name. I think was it Robbins?
Liam Robbins. Yeah, he's good too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Why is Ohio State different? You know, what are we struggling with here? I mean, look at the size that Loyola Chicago has. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, my father was commenting on, we were watching the game. It's just, gosh, look at the size. And then, by the way, that guy is an excellent low post player. Mm-hmm. Buzz from Home Alone, whoever that is. You know? But I mean, I love EJ Liddell. I think Zed's great. I like Kyle Young, and I wish Diallo would develop a little faster, but I mean, you just got to – we got to get some more size and rim protectors. We got to get some enforcers. Kyle – I said this about A.J. Liddell, too. He's also exhausted because he's having to play both ends of the court now, where normally we focus on his offense, because Kyle Young's out, and Kyle Young is the enforcer. E.J. can't – it's unfair to ask E.J. to be both, you know. So, yeah, I agree with you, man. The recruiting's solid, but it's got to take a step up. And I remember Holtman kind of promising, we're going to keep up with everybody in recruiting. Well, I mean, I don't want to. I hate bashing the kids he's getting because I love Ohio State players, mm-hmm. but you're not getting quite enough, maybe.
No, not enough. You can even look around, because what Baylor has, the guards that they have. Ohio State doesn't have a guard like that. Where Gonzaga and Mark Few, yes, they're on a different part of the country, different side of the country, but he could go anywhere around the world and say, hey, you want to play college basketball in America? I'm about to go win a national championship. I'm calling it right now. My bracket says so. I think Gonzaga's going to win it, man. Oh, we're that good. I'm putting guys in the NBA.
Did they beat Oklahoma today? I didn't see that.
They did. They did beat Oklahoma.
I know they were down for a little while, but yeah, okay, that's cool.
They did. And Mark Few can say whatever he wants to. Dana Altman at Oregon. You want whatever shoe you want from Nike? Come talk to. I mean, there's so many people out there that are really good coaches outside of the Big Ten that are doing different things via recruiting and coaching up players. Because I do think one thing that hurts Chris, I don't like bashing Chris Holman. I like Chris Holman a lot, like a lot. But I think one thing, you don't really see the trust or the development of so many players throughout the season. This year you saw Dwayne Washington Jr. make better decisions. The skills were always there. Decision-making was one thing that helped him out. But I don't know who really got better, who developed throughout the season. Junior, you had EJ Liddell. You had CJ Walker showed flashes, but you knew you could get that from CJ, just needed it consistently. I don't know who got better. Like, P players got better. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be like a Debbie Downer or negative. But players have to get better year after year after year. And to me, it's not just the stats. It's also mentally leadership. That's where players get better. And I'm looking forward to next year. I know it's not until October. It's going to start in the middle of football season. I get all of that. But with this basketball team, with the amount of players that can stay and that probably will stay here at Ohio State, Corey, this basketball team, I'm going to close out with whatever comment you got. This basketball team can be very good, and they should use this moment, Corey, as motivation going into next year's season. They know what they did this year, a bad taste in their mouth. Virginia, a couple years ago, or 2018, 16 of number one seed lost to a 16. The fall the next year in 2019, that tournament won it all. Ohio State, I don't know if they'll have the talent to win it all next year as it stands right now. But they can use this motivation to say, hey, yes, we're one of the few two seeds lose to a 15. We're going to use that, Corey, to push us better, to go on a run, and to potentially win the national championship next year.
Yeah, you're talking about player development, dude. Next year is going to be key because CJ Walker's gone. That veteran presence is gone. Jimmy Soto will be back, but did he show you anything that could he carry the team? No. Not to say he can't be a decent player, but he's not a guy you want to rely on to do it. So you got to have Michi Johnson develop, you know, and be give serious minutes next year, if not be the starter altogether. Or else Dwayne's going to be playing the point quite a bit. And quite frankly, I don't think that's Dwayne's strength.
No.
I will say development, EJ's development's been good, but you kind of expect that, right? Because he was almost a five-star when he came in. You expected him to get better. So at least there's expectations being met. And Dwayne is – I actually liked him out of high school. I never thought he would be the star, but I liked him as a role player, but he's being forced into a role where he's having to be the star. Zed Key, I think I will have to wait and see what he does next year. Hopefully he gets a little better, and he's got some game to his – you know, he's got an arsenal a little bit, but got to get better. Of course, you're right. The development's going to be so key. But you know what, Jay? Seth Towns, Justice Suing, Dwayne Washington, EJ Liddell, and I would love for Kyle Young to come back. I don't know if he will or won't. Those four alone is a nice foundation to build a deep run into the tournament. I understand the point guard position and the lack of size is going to be – now hopefully they can get Eflin Reed. He would play right away but out of IMG in Florida. But that being said, with all that unknown, those four are a nice foundation to go deep into the tournament next year. I don't know if they can win it all. Obviously, it's going to be tough. Big Ten's probably going to still be tough next year. But that you at least have a foundation to work from.
You do. It's a foundation to work from. The big man from IMG, I hope he comes. I know Chris Holman offered the number one player in the country, I think last name Holmgren, but looks like he's going to Gonzaga or the G League. I know Mark Few, if he could get that guy, you get Jalen Suggs this year, number one player in the country out of this year's class, going to play on your team next year. That's amazing. A lot of talent over there in Spokane. A lot of talent in Columbus as well. I know it's kind of been a negative back-to-back days here on the podcast. Dude, we're not going to continue this trend. Tomorrow is Football Wednesday, but I had to get Corey to talk about basketball. Corey will hopefully be back if our schedules match up to talk football sometime prior to next season. Corey, this has been fun. If you could, let everyone know once again they can catch you via social media and also catch your show as well.
Thank you, Jay. Always fun to be on, dude. I love your show. At Scarlet Great CT, if you want to tweet at me, at the tweeter, as old folks like to say. And of course, Scarlet and Great Empire on YouTube, if you want to subscribe and check out our videos on that. And also Scarlet and Great Podcast for, you know, any one of your streaming services that you enjoy. I'll just leave it at that. Jay, it's always fun. Thanks for having me on. I love what you're doing with Locked On.
Thanks, Corey. This has been fun. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. Be back tomorrow. Football Wednesday is tomorrow. Remember, Thursday, I'll be back on here dissecting and going through a few things with Chris Holtmann. The positives, the negatives, what can be done to improve. Because I personally will not want to come on this podcast at the end of next basketball season having these same conversations. I want to end it on a positive note, not a negative one.